Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read, that part of it which is found in chapter 22 of Revelation. And we shall read from Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and so on. And especially in verse 4, these words, and they shall see his face. They shall see his face. My friends, we are not told everything about heaven, what it is like, what takes place there, or what is heard there. Paul says that he heard there words that were unspeakable, which were not lawful for a man to hear and or utter. And though we do not know everything about heaven, yet, thankfully to the Lord, we are given enough information in order to make us want to go there. It is a place where there is no more crying, and there is no more pain, and no more sin. It is a place of eternal blessedness in the company of God's people, and in the presence of the angels, and in the presence of the Most High, so that they who are in heaven are blessed in beholding him. They shall see his face. Now you may say, how can someone like me expect to go to heaven, that holy place? Well, the answer is, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, and by the righteousness of Christ we go to heaven. By faith in Christ and repentance unto life, we may know that we are on the way to heaven. Do we desire to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? Most people will say yes, and most people will try to, at least they think they try to escape hell. But if we are truly receiving and resting on Christ for salvation, if we're endeavoring to turn from our sins and follow in the path of obedience, we may rest assured that we are on the way to heaven. And the Lord helping us, we would seek to consider this passage of God's Word, and that is what is seen in heaven. And this is what they see who are in heaven, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And the Lord helping us, we will consider first what is not seen in heaven, what believers will not see in heaven, and secondly, what believers will see in heaven. They shall see his face. They will see many wonderful things, and above all, they will see his face. And thirdly, if we desire to go to heaven, what do we need to see now? What believers see here on earth that assures them they will see his face in heaven? What believers will not see, what believers will see, and what believers see now to know they're on the way to heaven. And that is what we all need to see if we are going to heaven. You need to see Christ. You need to see the evil of sin. You need to see the beauty of holiness and to see that there is nothing so wonderful as having Christ for your soul. What we need to see now is Christ, the preciousness of Christ. Do you see his preciousness? Does your heart go out to him? Have you been made willing to follow Christ? The Lord helping us, let us consider first of all what believers will not see in heaven. Well, heaven is a place that we are told of many mansions, and many mansions, many dwelling places for many sons that will be brought to glory. Christ has a multitude that will serve him. They will follow him, and they will enter into glory at last. Christ will have a seed to serve him, and he has prepared a place for each one of them. And this is a place, prepared for God's people, and it is unchangeable. It is not like the tent that we live in now, that is our frail body, that is ready to be taken down. The place in glory is a place not made with hands. It is eternal in the heavens. How secure then this place is for God's people. This place, this eternal habitation, how secure it is because it is reserved for them. God's people have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, says the Apostle Peter. It's like someone who is getting old and he lives in a nice house and a lot of land, but he has in his will that this house and land are designated for certain individuals, and that is his own dear children. When he dies, this inheritance, it belongs to them. It will be passed on to them. And God's children have an eternal inheritance reserved for them, and they are being preserved for it. God is preserving his people and keeping them by his power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day, and they will enter into the possession of that inheritance in heaven above, that eternal dwelling place for each one of his children. Yes, it is a place for each. The Lord knows them that are his. He knows their names, and their names are written down in heaven, every one of them. God elected them from eternity. He knows exactly who they are, who will go to heaven. He loved them with an everlasting love, and he will bring each one of them to heaven at last. And how do you know that you're on the way to heaven? We're to make our calling and election sure. And how can we make sure that we are elect? By knowing that we have been called. Have you and I experienced that effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. We're to trace our calling to our election. If we have been called by the Spirit, we know we have been elected from eternity, chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. Oh, that we would then be examining ourselves if we have experienced that call, powerful call, being drawn by the grace of God to close with Christ, Christ being made precious to our souls. We have been made willing in a day of his power to embrace him and desire and endeavor to live for him. Is that your desire? Do you groan within yourself to be conformed to Christ, to follow him? Well then, there's a place for you in heaven. You are one of God's children, and there's an inheritance reserved for you in heaven, kept by the power of God through faith. Yes, looking unto Jesus, he will preserve you to the very end, and you will enjoy this possession of glory, and you will see his face, and they shall see his face in heaven. So it is that place that the Lord Jesus calls his Father's house. And how comforting it is to know that the place where God's people will dwell forever is called his Father's house. And though God fills heaven and earth, yet heaven is where God is present in a special way. The Father is present with his people. He is at home with his people in heaven. That is where God's people enjoy the fullest manifestations of God's favor in their souls, in heaven, as the Lord Jesus says, "My Father's house." And it is Christ himself, of course, who has secured that place for his people by his suffering on the cross. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Christ has purchased that place for them. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And he went the way of the cross to secure that place, that heavenly habitation for his people, suffering, bleeding, dying on the cross for them, to purchase their dwelling place for them, to purchase their right and title to that dwelling place in heaven. Christ has secured final redemption for his people, so that all the redeemed will be perfectly blessed, fully free from all sin and misery, and fully possessed of all blessedness and happiness, as we read in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Friends, what are those former things that will be passed away forever? That is what we're trying to consider this Sabbath evening. What believers will not see in heaven. And they will not see any evil. They will see no sin, no sorrow, no curse, no death, no tears. There will be no cursed thing in heaven. As we read in our text, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it," and so on. There will be no evil. There will be no curse, that is, no cursed thing, nothing worthy of the curse. There will be no cursed enemy, that old serpent, the devil, who brought in the curse. This cursed being is absent from heaven forever. He was cast out of heaven. He will have no access to heaven. He will never be seen or heard. There shall be no more curse, but the devil will be cast forever into the lake of fire. And there will be no one in heaven who is devoted to the curse whatsoever worketh abomination, verse 27, and nothing will enter heaven that defileth, nothing that it works abomination or maketh a lie, but only they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Who will you see in heaven? Who do you see now on earth? You see the wicked, you see the righteous, you see those you can't tell the difference, or because there are inconsistencies between them, but there will be no such confusion in heaven. There will only be the righteous in heaven, and all the wicked will be cast away forever. What a solemn thought. Where do we stand this evening? Whose side are we on? Are we in the camp and kingdom of Satan, or are we in the kingdom of Christ? There is no in between. Oh, friend, pray that you would be drawn to Christ, that you would be in the kingdom of grace. In heaven, none of the ungodly will be seen. Furthermore, believers in heaven will not see sin. Nothing that will perplex them will be seen in heaven. The struggles with the old man are forever in the past. Sin is gone, gone forever. There will be no trace of the cursed thing, that defilement that sin results in. Nothing that defiles will enter that place to defile it. The heirs of heaven are longing for that day to be made free from sin. And that what a warning that is to us, that we would repent and come out from the world, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. What will not be seen in heaven? Well, the vain world will not be seen. No world to allure or to intimidate God's people. The monuments of pride that the world praises and admires will all crumble and collapse and be consumed in the burning of the world. The lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life are all consigned to the flames. But in heaven, there will be nothing but pure delight. It is a world of eternal delights. And in heaven, believers will not see division. Now, there will be no disagreement amongst God's people there. Now, here on earth, we have imperfect knowledge, and even the best of God's people do see but dimly in many things, and not everyone sees as they ought, and therefore, what a call there is for charity, that when there are disagreements, even amongst those who are so closely identified, we would recognize that we have but imperfect knowledge, and there is so much darkness, and we need light from God, and therefore, how we long for that place in heaven where there is no confusion and no division. And furthermore, there is no contention in heaven. Isn't it by pride that contention comes? And in heaven there will be no pride, but there will be humility, and all glory will go to Christ. And as Thomas Watson puts it, when believers shall see the saints in glory without their infirmities of pride and passion, it will be a glorious sight. So that is what will be seen. What will not be seen is pride and quarreling and strife. None of that in heaven, because they shall see his face and all the shadows will flee away. So there will be no sorrow and no crying, no adversity, no difficulty. There will be no weariness. There will be no sickness. There will be no viruses spreading throughout the land. And there will be no distances, and there will be no isolation. There will be no separations. There is only unity and a community. There will be no painful goodbyes in heaven. They shall see his face, but they will not see pain and suffering. There will be no more sin. There will be no more groaning because of sin. Today, God's people are saying in their hearts, in prayer to God, all that I do desire is still before thine eye, and of my heart the secret groans, not hidden are from thee. But there will be no more groaning, and no more sighing, no more longing for deliverance from sin. Because why? Because sin will be gone. Sin will be gone forever. They will not see sin in heaven. And we read in chapter 21 and verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. No more horrid sights of people in agony, suffering, and dying. There will be no spiritual death, separation of the soul from God, walking in sin, in spiritual death. There will be no more death. And there are other things that the scriptures tell us that will not be seen in heaven. So far we have considered the evil things that will not be seen there. But there are also other good things that will not be seen in heaven. And what are they? Well, look at verse 22 of chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22. And I saw no temple therein. John saw no temple. You would think, well, in heaven, the purest place on earth, surely we would see a temple. No, I saw no temple therein. Why? For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Well, the temple here is put for all worship and ordinances that we need here on earth as we serve God in and by these instruments, these means here in this life. But in heaven, God will supply all of this because there will be the immediate vision of God. God shall be all in all. As Matthew Poole puts it, that the ordinances are but glasses or telescopes that we use in this life to see God at a distance. They are means, the ordinances, the means of grace, they're means that whereby we know in part. But there in heaven we shall see God face to face. We will know him as we are known. And so in heaven there will be no house of prayer, because we will lack nothing in heaven. We will not need a house of prayer, because all of our needs will be met. God will provide all that we need immediately, all blessedness in heaven. And so there will be no temple therein, no ordinances, no sacraments. Why? Because believers, the saints in glory, will always see Christ. So there will be no need of sacraments in order to remember him. The Lord's Supper, that the Lord Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me. Well, there will be no remembrance of him because they will see him. The Lord's Supper will give place to the eternal feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes, the apostle says that there will be no night there, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. No night, there will be no darkness. There will be nothing that makes God's people afraid. Because God will be their light. Today we so greatly need light. We feel so much darkness. We desire to behold the glory of the Lord, but we have such dim views. And the Lord's people are longing to be delivered from such inconstant intermittent views of Christ. They desire to see Christ with constancy, continually. Certainly, they desire that if they're rightly exercised. And who can be content, if we're truly God's people, who can be content with dim views of Christ, that we would just see but faint glimpses? The Lord's people desire to see his face, and they shall see his face in heaven. So, how the Lord's people will be thankful that there will be no night, no darkness in heaven, but only clear views. And there will be no sun. Think of that. The apostle says, neither light of the sun. Someone may say, well, I can understand there will be no night, there will be no darkness, but to say there will be no sun, no sun in heaven? That is because God is the light. The Lord God giveth them light. And we need to look to him as our light. In thy light shall we see light. Light is the symbol or figure for knowledge or comfort. And in heaven there will be no need of any instruments of knowledge and comfort, no need of any created beings to help us, to give us knowledge or consolation, because God and Christ fills the souls of his people with knowledge directly and with joy inexpressible immediately. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. They shall see his face, but they will not see sin and suffering and death, and there will be no tears. They will all be wiped away from their eyes. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So that is the negative side. What will be absent from heaven? What is not seen in heaven? The former things are passed away. But there is the positive side. What will be seen in heaven? Look at verse 7 of chapter 21. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. God's people will possess all that is truly good. The goodness will be enjoyed by the Lord's people. They will inherit all things. So the Lord's people in heaven will see many things, and above all, they shall see his face. And so in the second place, what believers will see in heaven, they shall see his face. God's people will inherit all things. They will be exalted. They receive the reward of righteousness that Christ merited. Christ was obedient to the law. He received the reward of life, and that reward is given to his people. They receive blessedness in heaven because Christ was obedient unto death to secure that everlasting life for them. And so all things are theirs because they are heirs with him. We read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 31, to him that overcometh, and it is only by grace that God's people overcome, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So the Lord's people are exalted with Christ. They are justified in him. They are blessed in him. They are exalted in him, sitting with him in his throne. How wonderful are these words. Who can tell the blessedness, the exaltation, the glory of God's people in Christ? And they will not see sin and suffering, but they will see that they are made perfect in holiness. Think of that. The great struggle now is between man's will and God's will, and the Lord's people struggle with that unwillingness at times. But in heaven, every thought and affection, every motion of their will, all will be totally conformed to God's will. They are made perfectly willing to obey him, perfectly conformed to him, to obedience to his will. The struggles will all be over, but God's people will be made perfect in holiness. And God's people will be with one another in heaven. What will they see in heaven? They will see each other. You may ask, will God's people know each other in heaven? But why would we ever think such a thing? Are we to think that our faculties will be impaired in heaven? No, quite the reverse. God's people's faculties of understanding and knowledge and will and affections will increase, and God's people will enjoy to be with one another, never to be separated again. The joy will increase when God's people are together, just as it is when people come together to meet with one another. That increases their cheerfulness and joy. And being with God's people in heaven, that great society in heaven, never more to be isolated, they will rejoice in the company of one another, in fellowship with one another to all eternity. As the Lord Jesus says, believers will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. John was told in Revelation 19, verse 9, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Have you been effectually called by the Spirit? If so, you will be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, seeing the prophets, seeing the apostles, seeing the martyrs, all the saints in glory, the spirits of just men made perfect. And you will see the angels. The angel Gabriel, who appeared to the Virgin Mary, the angels who announced the good news to the shepherds, all the angels that appeared to Old Testament believers, they will all be there, praising the Lamb who sits upon the throne. And there will be endless praise in heaven. Even on earth, of course, it is a pleasant thing to praise the Lord, and it is a wonderful thing to see God's people come together, perhaps on a Sabbath afternoon, to worship the Lord and to sing one psalm after another. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright, and to praise him in heaven will be the continual exercise and joy of God's people. They will never weary, their voices will never wear out. They will go on and on and on in praise to God throughout the endless ages of eternity. Blessing and honor and glory, they will say, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And in heaven, the faculties, as I said already, will be increased, enlarged. And so God's people will go on to eternity, learning of God, and gradually increase in that knowledge to add to their blessedness in glory to eternity. And the joy will be indescribable. As Charles Hodge puts it like this, we know that the joy in heaven is inconceivable. That's what we know. We know that the rejoicing in heaven is beyond knowledge, just as the peace of God we understand passes understanding, and the love of Christ passes knowledge. Who can enter into the inexpressible joy of the redeemed in heaven? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It has not entered into our hearts and our minds yet, but we know that these things are prepared for God's people. There is endless joy, unspeakable joy, and endless satisfaction. Whereas the joys of this life are so temporary, transient, short-lived, the joys in this world are fleeting, the things of time and sense are vanishing, and indeed we are called upon for that reason, amongst others, to lay not up for ourselves treasures upon earth. We're to have our treasure in heaven, and our hearts will be there. But the joys of heaven will satisfy and will go on forever. Even the spiritual joys of God's people today are fleeting, and they see but darkly, and even when they get some assurance and they feel that God is lifting up the light of his countenance upon them, still it is incomplete, it is not as full in their experience and consciousness as they wish. There are lingering doubts. The moment is fleeting in which they experience that joy here on earth. But in heaven, all is complete. The desires of the soul will be fully gratified. They will be abundantly satisfied. The heart will be full of joy. And there will be a great variety of joys. At thy right hand there are pleasures. There is plurality of pleasures in heaven. The company of God's people and the holy angels, fellowship with God and Christ, the eyes of God's people will feast upon the risen and glorified body of Christ, and the mind will be saturated with contemplation of God's truth, and the affections of God's people will be full of admiration of God's works and perfections, and be full of the love of God. And they shall see his face, and they shall see many things, including the pure river of water of life. The water of life, we know that we cannot live here on earth without water. Water is, from that point of view, a source of life, and to sustain us, that is. It is a means of preserving life. It's not the source of life, but the Lord God is the fountain of life. And he provides and gives life. He and his grace is that pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Clear as crystal, free from every taint of sin, free from anything that is corrupting. And it is God who is the fountain of all being, the fountain of life. And we read that there will be the tree of life. The tree of life in verse 2, we read, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Perhaps it is an allusion to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. No doubt it is. And fruit trees, of course, are attractive, and it's telling us of the beauty of heaven, the wholesome, life-giving virtue that is there. And it shows us, as fruit is attractive, the infinite pleasure and the satisfaction of the soul that God's people have in heaven, bearing 12 manner of fruits. Well, who is the source of life, friends? It is Christ himself. And how many are the pictures of that life-giving power that Christ is? He is the eternal life. Life is in him, in whom all fullness dwells. He who is the anointed, he who received the Spirit without measure. And we read that the tree of life yields her fruit every month. And so we have there the distribution, the continual distributing of God's fullness to his people. And it is healing. There is nothing in heaven that is useless, but what gives life and healing to God's people out of all the nations. And we read that there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. That is what God's people will see. They will see the throne of God. And it is the throne of God, the authority of God, that prevents any cursed thing being or dwelling in heaven. Everything that defiles will be absent. Nothing that defiles will enter. There will be no more curse because of the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. As we were thinking about this verse earlier today, our mind went to the Queen of Sheba, who commended not only Solomon, but Solomon's servants, because they would be happy indeed always to be in the presence of the king, that is King Solomon. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. And if Solomon's servants would be happy just to be in the presence of Solomon and hear his wisdom, how much more blessed are the people of God in the presence of the king, in the presence of the Lamb, his servants there in his presence. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Do we desire to serve him today? Is it our desire to follow Christ, to be obedient to his will, to attend upon him? Where he sends us, we will go. What he says, we will do. Do we desire to serve him now? If we do, we will be his servants in heaven. And more than that, we will see his face. They shall see his face. This gives expression to the happiness of God's people. It shows, it is signifying that which is the source of their blessedness. When they see his face, they are happy. They are enjoying fellowship with the Lord. When he shines on them, when he smiles upon them. And while today there are many things that interrupt that fellowship, and they don't see God's face as they desire in their souls, in heaven there will be nothing to interrupt the continual consciousness of God's favor. They shall see his face. They will continually see his face. We read also that his name shall be in their foreheads. No, there will not be the mark of the beast upon their forehead or their right hand, but they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Their life today manifests the fact that they are his children. And in heaven, they will be perfectly conformed to God's will, that it will be seen, as it were, in their very face. It will be completely manifest that they are the sons of God. His name shall be in their foreheads. And they shall see his face constantly in his presence, constantly with the Lord, the source of all joy for his people, because God alone can satisfy. He's the fountain of life, and believers are exalted in Christ. It is seeing his face, friends, that gives the blessedness of being in heaven, because the blessedness of heaven is in the perfect knowledge of God. Perfect knowledge of God. Can God's people have perfect knowledge of him? Well, it is not to say they have a comprehensive knowledge, because we know that God is incomprehensible. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? The answer is no, God is incomprehensible. We cannot know God fully, but we may have perfect knowledge of God that will have no limit except for what is the finiteness of our capacity. Because our minds are limited, we cannot have a comprehensive knowledge of God. But you see, the darkness will be completely removed. In our view of God, if we're his people, in our view of God, there will be no shadows. There will be nothing to obscure our vision, but there will be perfect light and perfect knowledge of God. The knowledge that we have of God now is, we might say, a childish knowledge. We know just a little. We know in part. But our knowledge of God in heaven will be like a child reaching maturity, gaining a knowledge, having a perfect understanding of what is revealed to us. So, friends, in heaven, faith will give place to sight. They shall see. It is not they will believe, but they shall see. They shall see his face. They shall see his face with joy by a direct communication of the knowledge of God. They will have perfect vision of God. It will be a face-to-face contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing to obscure. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face-to-face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. As we mentioned earlier, believers will see the Lord Jesus Christ with their literal physical eyes, seeing that blessed body of Christ, the most glorious visible object in the universe, the Son of God who assumed a human nature into union with his divine person, he who suffered and died for his people on the cross of Calvary. They will see him, their crucified but risen Lord, exalted at the right hand of God. God's children will see him with their own two eyes. What a glorious sight. The most pleasant view that we had of anything here on earth will pale into nothing in comparison with the glorious sight of the blessed Savior, the man Christ Jesus, the Lamb in the midst of a throne. As Job referred to, in my flesh shall I see God. He says, after I shall awake, though this body be destroyed, he is saying, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He would die, but afterwards he would rise from the dead, and with his own two eyes he would see the Lord. Can God's people be too devoted to the Lord Jesus? No, the Word of God tells us, worship thou him. And that is what will take place in heaven. The worship will go on forever, loving and adoring the Lord Jesus Christ in that beatific vision, the vision of God. You see, it is more than the physical eyes being set upon Christ. What is brought before us in the Word of God is seeing his face by the eyes of our understanding. This is the vision of God that makes us blessed. God giving us perfect knowledge of him so that we see his face in joy. Looking to Christ, we see God. God is manifesting his glory in Christ. Christ is the image of the invisible God. And if we see him, we see the Father. And to behold him is the glory of heaven. Beholding God in Christ is the heaven of heaven. Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If we know God, we have eternal life, and knowing God more makes us more blessed. That is what the beatific vision is. This vision of God is beatific. It beatifies. And what does that mean? It makes us supremely happy. Seeing God face to face makes us happy and blessed. This vision of God is transforming. As the Apostle says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, that, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him when he appears. And why? For we shall see him as he is. We shall see him. They shall see his face, and seeing his face, they will be like him. They will be blessed and glorified in him. As the psalmist says in Psalm 17 and verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. They shall see his face. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You see, friends, beholding Christ, they are changed forever. Like Christ, they are, through the perfect knowledge of God, they are forever satisfied and perfectly blessed. How fleeting our views of the Lord are here on earth. God's people desire sometimes just a glimpse. Oh, to see Christ, even through the lattice. And when they get a view of Christ, they feel blessing in their souls. But in heaven, the views that they have of God in Christ will go on forever and ever. Even now, having experienced the grace of God, God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And beholding his face in glory, they see God in Christ. Christ manifests his glory to them, and they are filled with the love of God in their hearts to all eternity. And the experience of this love will go on and on to all eternity. As John Newton wrote, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. After millions of years, as it were, the enjoyment of heaven will only have just begun. Communion with God will go on forever and ever. The joy will never diminish, the praise will never cease, and God's presence will always be felt. The happiness of God's people will be complete and eternal, perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God and the vision of God. They shall see his face to all eternity. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. They shall see his face. But as we said earlier, if this is what we desire, then there are some things that we need to see even now, today, here on earth. And that is what we consider thirdly, what we need to see now. And what we need to see now, if we would see his face in heaven, is the preciousness of Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Do we see even now the suitability of Christ to our need? We are sinners on the way to eternity. We deserve God's wrath and curse. We deserve to perish in our sins. Do we see Christ as a suitable Savior to our need, that he is a Savior from sin? He is a Savior who died on the cross to endure the wrath of God in the place of the guilty, the substitute for the sinners. For sinners, he obeyed the law that sinners have broken. He suffered the wrath of God, which we deserve. Here is a suitable Savior, a Savior just according to our need. But he is also a sufficient Savior. He is God, and and his sacrifice on earth is of infinite value to satisfy divine justice, an all-sufficient, suitable Savior for sinners like us. Do we see that? Do we see the glory of it, the preciousness of Christ? And do our hearts go out to him, this precious, suitable Savior, so that we are brought to rest on him for salvation? What else do we need to see? We need to see the evil of sin. If we have been called by God's grace to embrace Christ, then there's something that we will shun, and that is sin. We will see that sin is defiling. We will see sin as abominable. And we will see that while there is no room for sin in heaven, there should be no room for sin in our hearts. And so we will not regard sin. We will hate sin. We will be sad that sin still dwells in our hearts. And we will long for sin to be gone from our hearts. When we go to heaven, that will be the case, perfect in holiness. What do we need to see? If we would know that we will see his face in heaven, we need to see the beauty of holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And if we desire holiness and if we see something of the beauty of holiness, then we may be assured that we're going to heaven, because that is what heaven is all about. It is the place where holiness reigns. And another indication of going to heaven is that heaven will be to us what it is to them in heaven. In other words, as one of the Puritans puts it, I think, all will go to heaven to whom it would be a heaven. It is Christ who makes heaven what it is. And if going to heaven would be heaven to you, you are going to heaven to enjoy all that is in heaven. They shall see his face. If you have desired to see his face now, if you have desired that God would lift up the light of his countenance upon you now, and you're saying in your soul, shine on me with thy face, then you will see his face in heaven. You desire to see his face with joy here on earth, and you will go on to see his face in heaven, having his name in your forehead, going on to behold him, being like him, being a new creature here on earth. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and you will enjoy that newness and freshness in heaven. They shall see his face. Come to him. Come to him now here on earth. It is the only opportunity that you have to come to Christ. Flee from the wrath to come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who offers himself to you freely. Come and welcome to Christ, and you will know that your sins are forgiven, that you will be in paradise, in heaven, in that place that God has reserved for you, that Christ has prepared for you, because he has purchased it for his people. Come and look to Jesus, and they shall see his face. May he bless his word. Let us pray.